You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class here in KGYM as we come your way here on a Tuesday, August 17th edition of the program. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes from his home on the Southwest Side, Ben on the other side of the glass, our producer here today. Good show coming up. Tom Kakert will join us coming up in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. We will talk about the Kids Day scrimmage down in Iowa City. We'll kick that around. Of course, Tom with HawkeyeReport.com. And find out his thoughts about how everything went on Saturday. A look back at Friday's media day as well. That'll be coming up in about 20 minutes or so. We'll check in with Tom. Plenty of other topics to discuss today on the program. A couple of announcements upcoming as far as the state of Iowa. One of them, anyway, dealing with the state of Iowa. Maybe pigtailing off of what happened at the Field of Dreams on Thursday night. We'll see. Although I think this was in the offing quite a ways prior to the first pitch up in Dyersville. So we'll talk about that and have a whole lot more on the program here today. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. And they are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program each and every day right here on KGYM. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being. All you need to do is go to dupaco.com. And thanks for tuning in. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. Those pesky Twins in action tonight, helping me last night. And the White Sox. Helping the White Sox. Not me. I'm not a member of the team. Helping the White Sox last night with an extra inning victory over the Cleveland Indians. And they'll go at it tonight, 6:30, one more time, up in Minneapolis at Target Field tonight. 6:30, pregame, 107.5 FM, the Gym OT, 7:10 with the first pitch. And, Mark joins me now from the Southwest side. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm very well. And, yeah, the Twins peskier by the day. I think have won 8 of 11 the last two in walk-off fashion. They're going nowhere, but they're passing some teams, in the overall Major League standings. That was an intentional cough. It wasn't okay.
Okay, very good.
I think you know that, Scott. But, yeah, it's kind of fun watching them these days. But, again, they're going nowhere.
No, but you know, playing a little bit better. So, you know, that's good news, right?
Yeah, this team was 14 games under 500 in mid-May. And since then, they played a tad over 500, not well enough to get back in the race, especially with the White Sox playing extremely good baseball most of the year. I didn't figure the Twins would challenge the White Sox anyway, but that bad start in May really hurt the Twins in terms of gaining any momentum and getting off to a good start.
Yeah. Text line available to you if you'd like to weigh in on the program. We always enjoy hearing from our listeners out there. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. You can give Ben a call if you would like to weigh in. 319-366-1600. And we'll talk a little baseball coming up here in the next couple of minutes. If you have an 85, well, it was number 85, correct? It was a hot selling item down at Jacksonville. We ought to call Mia O'Brien down at Jacksonville and see if she has herself an 85 jersey, because it's a collector's item now, because Tim Tebow has been released by the Jacksonville Jaguars after a very, very poor performance in their first preseason game. I don't think a lot of people are surprised by the move, but Tebow is no longer in the National Football League.
Not surprising in the least. He's 34. He was a long shot to make the roster anyway. I think the only reason he was came in, tried to make the team as a tight end, is because Urban Meyer, as the head coach, his former college coach. He's a tremendous long shot. And then when you saw the half blank block,
it wasn't even a block, was it?
In the first preseason, he was scared. I think he was scared. Well, I wouldn't say that to Tebow's face, and I've vowed to myself not to say things that I wouldn't say to somebody's face, but he wasn't too enthused, let's put it that way, of taking on the defensive end and that viral shot. So what Tebow does next, I don't know. Maybe he should be an alternate to the two hosts for Jeopardy. I don't know. He'll show up somewhere, though, I'll guarantee you.
And be successful. More successful than he is as a 34-year-old tight end. But, yeah, by the way, that's twice in 2 days we have name-dropped Mia O'Brien onto the program. So, you say it three times, and she may call in or something like that.
May just appear, yeah.
Yeah, Beetlejuice type thing right there. 319-366-1600. A couple of pieces of news, one national, international, but also local as well, and a piece of really good news. And I think piggybacking with the success of what happened on Thursday night, this was in the offing way, way prior to the first pitch on Thursday night. But it has been reported today. And good news for the state of Iowa as far as not only sports but also economically as well. There will be a news conference on Thursday at 11:30 in West Des Moines at the Hy-Vee headquarters. And it looks as though that the NTT IndyCar Series is going to be headed back to Newton and the Iowa Speedway for the schedule coming up in 2022. It was no secret. IndyCar was looking for another oval, may even be looking for two more ovals to get back on the schedule. And this is good news for, like I said, the state of Iowa. It's good news for race fans out there. It's just good news for everyone, period. And it sounds like, as we mentioned, Hy-Vee is behind this. Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan Racing behind it as well. They have been working with Hy-Vee this year as far as sponsorships are concerned. Santino Ferrucci was piloting a car with the Hy-Vee sponsorship, not only in the 500, but also in a few other races. Lindgaard was in it over the weekend at Indianapolis in the road course race. But that is good news, whether you're a race fan or not a race fan. And it continues to be good news for the state of Iowa as far as sports and eyeballs on our little part of the flyover Midwest, Mark.
Sure, and you don't want that venue, Iowa Speedway, to go dark. I'm not sure it ever was threatened to be going in that direction, but when you have a national, international event like IndyCar racing in the middle of Iowa, that's only a good thing for the state, I think. And I don't know if they've announced a date on that yet, Scott.
No, not yet. Schedule will be out within the next few weeks, the way it sounds, and they're just buttoning everything down. Like I said, IndyCar would like to get into another oval as well. But at least Iowa is back. It's always done well, especially as far as a night race is concerned. And one of the more popular races as far as the schedule is concerned up and down the line. So that is great to see. And we anticipate that is going to be what is going to be announced on Thursday. As we mentioned, at 11:30 at the news conference over at their headquarters in West Des Moines. So that that is very, very good news. Very good news.
Yep, you bet.
Especially for that area that has seen some kind of dark economic days with Maytag leaving. Gosh, it's been over a decade ago now. Almost two decades ago as far as Maytag is concerned. But it's great to have that back. 319-366-1600 is the text line. Nationally today, this was kind of, an announcement that was made, but it wasn't really made. It's one of those riddles, Mark. Does a tree fall in the forest if you do not hear it? We're getting very deep here on the program today. We knew that the Washington football team was down to their final eight names that they are looking for going into the future as far as their nickname is concerned. And one of those is the Washington Football Team, which is not a nickname. It's just the moniker. So seven nicknames and then Washington Football Team. On a video earlier today, the Washington Football Team said that they had the choice whittled down to three. But they beeped out the names. How dare they do that? But we know the eight semi or quarterfinalists, if you will. It's now down to three semifinalists. That would be the Armada, the Brigade, the Commanders, the Defenders, the Presidents, the Red Hogs, the Red Wolves, or, as we mentioned, the Washington Football Team. Any of those pop out to you, Mark?
As to being offensive?
No, just being good for the Washington Football Team.
I hate this game because it's going to, you know, whether it's locally with the Marion Indians / Wolves or the Washington Football Team, the Cleveland Indians / I hope they lose their lawsuit, whatever amounts to that, with the roller derby team or, you know, whatever it is that has the same nickname, Guardians, is it?
Yes.
I hope the Indians have to pay through the nose for that. But at any rate, I hate this game. I don't care what the Washington Football Team is going to be named. I would think a Red Hogs would make a lot of sense since one of the colors of the team is red and they're known, the offensive line is known as the Hogs.
Well, they were at one point.
Or they were. Is that offensive to hog farmers? Maybe. I don't know. The last thing you want to be called is the Washington Presidents, okay?
I'm not a big fan of Armada.
Or Commanders at this point in our history.
How about the Defenders, I think, works for me. The Washington Defenders. How's that?
Okay. Well, the first thing you do when you do something like this is Google that and see if it's offensive to anybody.
True. 0835, out of the choices, I would like them to stick to the Washington Football Team. And who knows, they might. Might be what they're going to go with. Who knows how it plays out. But they're down to three, apparently. And we'll know those three coming up probably sooner than later. 17 past the hour of 3 o'clock. College football news. More announcements. We know that Michigan named their starting quarterback. A couple other Big Ten teams naming their starting quarterback. And that includes the Northwestern Wildcats. Now, you remember, Mark, 2 years ago, someone on this very program nailed the fact that the Northwestern Wildcats were going to be very, very good. I have that feeling again, Mark. I'm just throwing that out there. I've got that feeling again that Northwestern might be running big time under the radar right now. But their quarterback is going to be the former Clemson Tiger, Hunter Johnson. He has won the quarterback derby for Pat Fitzgerald and the Wildcats. So he will be leading that offense at Ryan Field.
Well, I'm not surprised at the selection. There was a former South Carolina quarterback, I believe, who was in the running as well. And as long as Pat Fitzgerald is at the helm in Evanston, any type of finish would not surprise me. They're going to be competitive. Whether they will be competitive to win a division title remains to be seen. But once again, Pat Fitzgerald always has that team ready and competitive.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that with Tom Kakert when we talk with him coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes here on the program today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 319-366-1600. 9664 also agreeing with you, not the Presidents. Do not name them the Washington Presidents.
I think that's quite obvious.
I would agree. I would agree on that. There you go. 319-366-1600. We've got news out of the NBA and NHL today as well. The National Hockey League is going to follow suit with the WNBA and the NBA starting not this year, but in 22-23. They are going to include corporations and ads small ads on the sweaters as far as the National Hockey League is concerned. I think we're over this now, aren't we, Mark? It's not a big deal anymore, right?
I am. It's been going on in an international sports forever, so I'm over it.
I'm over it, too. NBA today came out with their schedule. If you're looking ahead, Christmas Day games, which always seem to be very popular and kind of the start of things. By the way, opening night is a doubleheader. It'll be Brooklyn against the world champion Milwaukee Bucks and then Golden State and the Lakers. That'll be on October the 19th. Really not that far away, about 2 months away, believe it or not. Christmas Day matchups, there will be five. It'll be the Knicks and Atlanta, followed by Milwaukee and the Boston Celtics, Phoenix and the Golden State Warriors, and then in the evening in prime time, it'll be the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets, and the final game of Christmas night as you await St. Nick coming down the chimney. You can do that by watching Utah and the Dallas Mavericks. Just get the kids to bed.
I'm over that, too. God, I sound growly today.
You are grouchy today. What's
take it off here?
What's the deal today?
Subject matter.
Oh, we're gonna get to an evil sideways scoreboard, which will make Mark happier. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit, and we'll talk with Tom Kakert as well coming up in just a little bit. And by the way, yesterday. We had this on the docket, and we just ran out of time. Hearty congratulations to Caitlin Clark and in the United States, U19 basketball team, women's basketball team, for basically steamrolling anyone in their way and winning a gold medal. And Caitlin Clark, the MVP, that was pretty darn cool. High praise for her, and just congratulations.
By and large, the competition was pretty lousy, but nevertheless, the United States won the gold medal over Australia by, I think it was 18 points, and Clark was terrific, and just makes you very eager to watch what this young woman can do in the next 3 years at the University of Iowa.
Yeah.
Already, I think, three gold medals in age group competition on a world basis. This is a special player.
It is. It is a very special player, and like you said, it'll be good to see Caitlin Clark in an Iowa uniform for the next 3 years and just get a chance to watch and see what she can do out there. That's fantastic. And like we said yesterday, Luka Garza with the two-way contract, signing with the Detroit Pistons, and the former Hawkeye center was just absolutely terrific as far as the summer league is concerned, and I hope he gets a legitimate shot. Putting up the numbers he did continues to amaze people, like we said yesterday. And I would have liked to seen a little bit more than a two-way contract, but still, he's got his foot in the door right now with the Pistons and the NBA. So that is good for Luka Garza.
It is, and I think Joe Wieskamp got a similar deal with the San Antonio Spurs. So it appears both will have their shot. And Garza last night finished with 21 points, 15 rebounds in his final summer league game. And I don't think he could have done much more in the summer league games. And Wieskamp had his moments as well. They both proved, I think, that they belong in the league. But the line is so fine sometimes in terms of a long-term contract and a two-way deal like this. Oftentimes, you know, second rounders get this type of deal, but Garza was terrific.
Yeah, he was. And 21 and 15, that's pretty darn impressive. We're going to get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard for you coming up here in a moment, but a reminder first that the gym is partnering with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. So please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event. And if selected, your event will be featured on the air and online. Go to kgymradio.com for more information on that. All right, 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, we need to get to an Evil's Hideaway scoreboard update. before we talk to Tom Caker to HawkeyeReport.com. This update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast, right across from the Lindale Mall and right behind Taco John's. And what do we have going on in the world of sports, Mark?
Here come the Yankees, Scott. New York has taken the first of two from Boston, 5-3. That was a seven-inning game, of course. The second the game of that doubleheader will take place tonight. All the other action in Major League Baseball under the lights, as you mentioned, the Twins and Indians. Cubs go for their 13th straight loss tonight. Eyes on Cincinnati for that game. Also in baseball, on the American Legion level, Dubuque County and Hawaii, that game in the semifinals was rained out last night. The two teams will play at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The winner will advance to the championship game against Idaho. That to be played, weather permitting, after that Dubuque County-Hawaii game. And, Scott, by the way, there's only been two teams dating in this American Legion World Series history back to 1926. Only two Iowa teams have reached the final. And they were both Cedar Rapids American Legion teams in 1971 and 1975. So Dubuque County trying to better that. First round of the FedEx Cup championships will go off Thursday. Zach Johnson in a group with Gary Woodland and Kyle Stanley at 12:39. And in the state of Iowa, the Iowa PGA Professional Championship was concluded today. Sean McCarty of Brown Deer was a winner by one shot. He now qualifies for the 2022 John Deere Classic and for the National PGA Professional Championship next April. That competition was held at the Davenport Country Club. Our friend and co-host of Caddy Smack, Brian Haas, after a rough first round, put together two solid second and third rounds, finished 22nd overall and 8th in the senior division. That's today's Emil's Hideaway scoreboard.
Yeah, here come the Yankees. And yep. Boston is going the other way right now. And we'll see if they can hold on in a very, very tough American League East. Before we get to the break here, 50-37, not familiar with contracts, but if Garza plays well in the preseason, which of course is not too far in the distant future, can that contract be switched to more of a long-term deal? I'm not 100% on that, but I would think that would be the case. Yeah.
I'm not entirely familiar with NBA contracts as well, but I do know players have played themselves into long-term contracts or at least a full-season contract with particular teams. So maybe that can change, maybe not. And on the text line, I'm not sure about Tyler Cook. He was playing in the summer league with the Pistons as a non-roster player, so I'm not quite sure of his status.
He's not been given a contract. I've just looked at the transactions for the Pistons, and no word about Tyler Cook. So we'll see. We'll see.
I'm pretty sure he's a non-roster player.
Yes.
For the Pistons in the summer league.
Yeah, knew that. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, we're going to take a break, come back, and our friend Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com is going to join us. We'll look back at the activities at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday as Kids Day took place, the Kids Day scrimmage for Iowa football. And we'll talk with Tom about that when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union right here on KGYM.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the whole desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold. Or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
I have yet to run into any staff member that has even appeared to be having a bad day. I mean, they're just so welcoming.
Every experience I have with them, I walk away and I'm like, gosh, they're great there.
It's the We Share Your Values feeling Ben and Aaron get at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust.
We made the switch to Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, roughly 5 years ago.
I hate change. I kind of fought it, but I was completely wrong.
The switch was so easy. You're actually connecting with it. With a human.
They couldn't be better at what they do.
They're a very community-minded bank. Many nonprofits were involved in. We see CRBT out there.
Every time they go above and beyond.
The kids' experience has been great as well. They send a hand-signed birthday card to each of our children on their birthday. That goes to show who Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust is.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, celebrating 20 years of people you can bank on. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You're upgrading your home, planning an incredible master bath and stunning open concept kitchen. But for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Go against the grain for truly inspired outdoor living with TimberTech. Experience design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Make your outdoor living space the place to be with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
So then I dropped some garlic and croutons on there, and the rest is salad history. I made the best salad ever, people, and now I'm making the best app. The Caesar Sportsbook app got live in-game betting, parlays, and Caesar rewards. Caesar salad ain't got nothing on my app. Nothing!
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Download the Caesar Sportsbook app. Your app is ready, Emperor.
3:31, we are back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. As we got Twins baseball coming up later on. Twins and the Cleveland Indians tonight, 6:30 on the Gym OT, 107.5 FM, 7:10 with the first pitch for that one. Tomorrow, Milwaukee and St. Louis. I believe everybody gets that from ESPN Radio coming up tomorrow evening. Of course, last Friday was Media Day. Last Saturday, it was the Kids' Day scrimmage down in Iowa City. And to talk about that and all things Hawkeyes, we bring on Tom Kakert, the publisher at HawkeyeReport.com, part of the Rivals Network, who kind enough to join us on this Tuesday in mid-August. And Tom, we're about there. You smell it? Football is in the air, man.
Yeah. You know, it's next week we'll be into the start of week zero. We'll get, big Nebraska-Illinois game will be coming up very shortly. So, and then that following week it'll be game week for the Hawkeyes and Cyclones, and we'll get the season started and get those two running into each other on September 11th.
Well, the first thing I think of when I think of week zero is, you know, everyone's favorite week as far as the high school football season is concerned. Now it's going to college, so there must be some attraction to it.
Yeah, well, it's more football. That's what it is. It's people just want, you know, you just love football, so they want to get it going. And you know, it's kind of smart to have throw some of those games because, you know, like the Nebraska-Illinois game, if that was in, you know, week four, that's just sort of an afterthought kind of game. It's like, yeah, you know, if it was on, you'd see it. But it's going to be like the biggest game that weekend, maybe, you know, that we're going to all be tuned in to see what Brett Bielema does in his first game as the Illinois head coach, and will Scott Frost continue to struggle at Nebraska. So we're all tuned in. So it's another way to generate excitement for college football.
Tom, it appears we learned a whole lot more Saturday than we did Friday. Let's go to Saturday. And I wanted to ask you about the running back position. Clearly Tyler Goodson is RB1, and I would guess Ivory Kelly Martin is pretty solidly at RB2. With the start of the season, Indiana, Ohio State, it's not like you've got Akron to test out the third and fourth running backs, but it looks like people saw some good things about the backups at running back. How much time will they get, though?
Yeah, I would say that was one of the more, you know, just completely down the line. Every guy looked really impressive, you know, starting with Goodson. He was terrific, you know, had both catching the ball and running the ball. He's poised to have, you know, Breece Hall is going to be great at Iowa State. I think Tyler Goodson is going to be great at Iowa. I think both those guys are going to contend for, you know, All-American honors by the end of the year. Ivory Kelly Martin's coming off the ACL. He looked really good. Didn't look like he had any, you know, residue from that surgery in December. So I think he's ready to go. And then both the Williams looked good. LaShawn Williams in particular, I thought, looked terrific. And Kirk Ferentz afterwards said he's one of those guys that better with the pads on. So he's kind of one of those gamer guys. But Gavin Williams, I thought, looked good. And even Devin Hilson, the kid from Des Moines North, the true freshman, I thought he looked pretty nice in just the limited action that we saw him do. But like in a 7-on-7 kind of thing, I saw him make a really nice one-handed catch. So he's got some talent as well.
Yeah, and talking about youngsters, who impressed you? I know Arlen Bruce made a couple of catches. Anybody catch your eye on Saturday?
Yeah, there's a couple of guys, I think three freshmen that have really kind of, actually I'll put four true freshmen out there that you mentioned. One of them, Arlen Bruce, who Keegan Johnson was dinged up a little bit with what Kirk Ferentz called a boo-boo the day before. So I don't know what that was, but he didn't know if he was going to practice the next day, but he did. And I thought Keegan, you know, looked okay in kind of limited duty, but Arlen caught a really nice pass, a nice over-the-shoulder catch from Spencer Petras with Riley Moss on him. He had a couple of nice plays, I thought. I'll mention Connor Colby, one of your local guys who's in the two deeps, and a lot of praise for him and what he's done at the tackle position so far. And he's kind of rotating between the ones and twos, and you just don't see that very often. And, you know, the last true freshman to get any sort of starts for the University of Iowa on the offensive line was a kid named Tristan Wirfs, who's doing pretty well these days. So it's pretty heady to see Connor Colby in there getting everything done. And I'd also mention Max Llewellyn, who jumped in there a little bit with the twos, defensive end, in-state kid. You know, there was one pass rush where he completely buckled Colby back. They were going head-to-head, and Llewellyn got the better of him on that play. So he's somebody that I'm going to keep an eye on here moving forward.
Before Mark, let me interrupt you real quick. As far as Connor Colby is concerned, and yeah, watching him for 3+ years at Kennedy, on the football field, he good feet, and he's very mild mannered. But man, oh man, when he gets in the football field, as Coach White said, he brings the nasty a little bit, and he will go to the whistle against you. And I think he's going to contribute this year.
He's got a fabulous mullet too.
Yes, glad you noticed.
Fabulous.
That.
Yeah, my grandson got a up close and personal look at him, that's for sure. But at any rate, Tom, you mentioned the freshman, and the ban has been lifted on freshmen talking with media. I think it's a great move because, for one, these kids have been talking to media for a number of years. And number two, the last thing you want is a true freshman to catch the game-winning touchdown pass, and you can't interview him. How did the true freshman come off to you?
They were great. And, you know, most of these kids have done a lot of interviews over the years, and we've talked to a lot of them over the years, you know, during the recruiting process. So they're fairly capable of handling the responsibility. And frankly, as I told Kirk Ferentz this, you know, at Big Ten Media Day, when I just kind of broached the subject with them privately just for a few minutes and just said, hey, look, you know, you probably want to reconsider this because, frankly, any of us could do an NIL deal with any of these true freshmen, and there's nothing that anybody could do about it. We could do interviews with them every week. So you might as well just make them available. And you know, so far, nobody's done that, but it's still, it's going to be good to have these guys available. Now, will there be a ton of them that talk every week? No, but it was nice to talk to some of them and kind of get their feet wet, talk to Brody Brecht or Arlen Bruce, Keegan Johnson, Cooper DeJean, kids like that that are going to contribute to Iowa football either this year or down the road, and they handle themselves really well.
Tom, how about Spencer Petras? People are looking for him to take that next step. A lot of people in the know following college football. A lot of people saying that if Iowa is going to be a contender as far as the Big Ten championship is concerned and get back to the championship game, Spencer Petras has got to take that next step. What are your impressions on Saturday?
Now, I'm one of those people that probably says that too, that if Iowa is going to contend, it's going to be because Spencer Petras had a good year and took that next step and his progress. He's the clear QB1 after Saturday. I think that's, I don't know that anybody would argue with that, that he was better than Alex Padilla. He was better than Deuce Hogan. Joey Labus got a little bit of run at the end of practice. So just, true freshman, not really even in the mix, obviously. So I just thought Petras commanded the team really well. Was he great? I don't know if I'd call it great. I thought he was good. He was solid. He didn't make any mistakes, really. Thought he identified throws fairly well. Hit a few passes down the field, but not a lot. But still just, spread the ball around. And I think that's all he needs to do is manage the team and move the football down the field. And if they can do that and run the ball effectively, I think they're going to be okay.
Tom, one of the themes that emerged from Saturday was that the offense was ahead of the defense in a lot of people's observations. Yeah. That's kind of unusual at this time of year. Is that cause for alarm, or was there a reason for that? It was the ones against the threes, or what was it?
Yeah, it's weird because I've been going to these things forever, basically, and this was the first time I've ever seen the offense actually move the football and score several touchdowns. Usually we come out of there and there's like maybe one or two touchdowns that get put in the end zone, and rarely do we see a big play. And this was a practice where there were a lot of big plays. And I think part of it is maybe the offense is actually pretty decent. But what Kirk Ferentz said after practice was that was the first time that they'd seen that too. So it might have just been one of those anomaly things. Now, Noah Shannon was out, his starting defensive tackle. Y.A. Black was working with the twos. He's still working back from a couple of minor dinged up situations with the injuries. So their starting defensive tackles weren't out there. So that could have been part of it when you're starting Lucas Van Ness and Logan Lee at the tackle. Maybe things were a little bit easier for the offense. But overall, they moved the ball most of the time and made some plays. So I think the defense will be fun. The thing I've realized over the years, Phil Parker will get the defense figured out. They're going to be tested those first 2 weeks, though, because Indiana's a really good offense with Penix and Bifolo at wide receiver, and we've got a talented wide receiver, talented USC transfer coming in at running back. And then we know Iowa State's going to have a great offense with Brock Purdy and Breece Hall.
Yeah, and I think a little bit of trepidation as far as the front of the defense is concerned. I think less as you go toward the back, especially as you get to a very seasoned secondary as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. But, it's you still have to have the horses up front. And I think that's, like you said, the big question as far as this team is concerned right now.
Absolutely. I think the two biggest question marks, and it's the two most important aspects of Iowa football every year. If you tell me that Iowa's got a really good offensive line and a really good defensive line, I will tell you that they have a chance to win just about every game, because that's where it all starts. If they can run the ball and stop the run, you talk to Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker, they'll tell you that's the two most important things for them. Number one on the list for Brian Ferentz is being able to run the football, and for Phil, he said it over and over again that the number one thing is they have to stop the run on first down. So that's going to be the big test, and they've been able to do that kind of mix and match guys over the years and figure out things on the defensive line. But boy, I think, you know, that back seven is really good. You know, with Jack Campbell, a kid from Cedar Falls, you know, everybody's hyping him up. He's going to be, you know, this is probably going to be a breakout season for him. I really like Seth Benson, and Justin Jacobs, another linebacker, is really good, and the secondary's got everybody back. So they've got all the tools there. It's just going to be a challenge of, can they stop the run?
Tom, we've established that Petras is clearly the starting quarterback, but everybody loves that QB too. And who would that be?
It's, you know, it's funny you bring that up, because I did various interviews and put up the videos from those after media day. And I usually try to pick some of the guys that we don't hear from all the time, because I, you know, somebody else for me to talk to. And I put up the Padilla and Deuce Hogan. That's our most viewed videos, are the backup quarterbacks. Makes it fun. Just so fun that those are two of the most viewed ones. But Padilla is the number two quarterback for sure, and then Hogan's number three. And I think there's still pretty decent separation there between those two right now. And I think there's probably still a real good gap between Padilla and Petras at this point, from based on what we saw at practice.
How about special teams? I think everyone is kind of under the same umbrella that punting is going to be just fine with Taylor, but a new kicker this year, strong leg, but it is a new kicker, and we'll see how that plays out. With as many close games as Kirk Ferentz and Iowa play over the years, you know the kicking game is going to come into play.
Oh, 100%. It's always, you know, you look at some of the legendary things that have happened in Iowa football under Kirk Ferentz, going back to, you know, Nate Kading making field goals, to Daniel Murray kicking a field goal, to Keith Duncan, to Miguel Racinos. You know, you've had all these guys. You can keep dunking again, the pose against Nebraska. So you've got, you're going to have a situation where Caleb Shudek's going to have to kick a clutch field goal. They seem really confident in him. He's a sixth-year kid, so he's super experienced. He's been on the field, too. He's handled kickoffs. He's handled a few PATs over the years. So I think they're really comfortable with him. We didn't get to see a ton of special teams. We saw the punters more than the field goal kickers, really. The kickers really did their work very early, and then we didn't really see them during the kind of the team situation in practice. But I think they're fairly confident in what they have with Shudak.
Yeah, game winner at Iowa State for Shudak. I got to wonder what his dad, Jeff, would think. Wow. He's a really good kicker at Iowa State.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, that game might come down to a field goal.
Yeah, could be. And
go ahead, Scott.
No, I was just going to ask about, I kind of let the beans spill a little bit earlier on, about, I want to get your thoughts about the West. And not necessarily your etched in stone, you know, standings and pecking order about how things are going to be, but is there someone you're looking at, maybe, that might make some noise that maybe people aren't looking at? I've got the same kind of inkling deep down that I had 2 years ago about Northwestern, and I just have a feeling Northwestern is going to have a pretty good year for Fitz this year. Is there anybody in the West, or what do you see in the East about maybe a team that's stepping up?
Before today, I would have 100% agreed with you about Northwestern, because Fitz just does everything. But now they're two of their really good running backs transferred, because this other kid, this Parker kid, emerged last year, and now he's out for the year. So they're really behind the eight ball in terms of running back right now for Northwestern. And then I saw that Fitz, I think everybody thought that the Helinski kid was going to come in and be the starting quarterback. They named Hunter Johnson the starting quarterback. And while Hunter Johnson was a five-star at a high school, they tried to give him that job 2 years ago, and he was terrible. So, and then they had to go out and get Peyton Ramsey last year to really kind of lead him. So I'm kind of out on Northwestern now. The team that might sneak up on people is Minnesota. They got an experienced quarterback in Tanner Morgan. They got one of the best backs in the Big Ten in Ibrahim. So I would throw the Gophers in there, although we'll find out early about the Gophers because they got Ohio State early, and that's going to be a test for them.
Tom, what's your reaction to Luka Garza and Joe Wieskamp getting two-way contracts, and what does that mean?
Happy for both guys. You know, you look at the NBA, and they've got 15 spots and generally 15 guaranteed contracts when you're going into summer league already. So you're fighting for table scraps there. And the two-way deal, the way that two-way contract has evolved over the years, it's almost like you're with the big club plus most of the essentially a team these days, you know, like the Motor City team, the G League team is in Detroit. So Luka will be with the Pistons pretty much all the time in their practice facility and everything. So he'll have that. You know, the Spurs team is in Austin. So, you know, Joe Wieskamp when he's with the G League team. But they used to have a limit of like 45 games, and they moved it up to 50 last year. And from what I understand, they're going to lift just the complete number off of there. So it can be almost an unlimited number of games that you could be up if there's openings on the roster. And boy, Luka has played terrific. You know, his defense obviously is going to be a challenge, and we all knew that, but he's certainly showing that he can score at the professional level. And I don't think anybody doubted that. And, you know, Joe Wieskamp's going to find a role and help that Spurs team and probably be up for a good amount of time this year with the big club as well.
Yeah. I tell you, Luka just keeps putting up double doubles. It just keeps defying the odds, and that's great to see. And he's going to get that, got that foot in the door, and I think only good things are going to happen to Luka. So we'll see how it all plays out, but yeah, we're getting started next week with Big Ten football, and then Iowa, Indiana, going to be such a. I mean, you've been around this a long time, Tom. And before we let you go here, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find the first two games of a season that mean as much to an Iowa football team as 2021 is going to.
Yeah, last year was two big games out of the gate, but it was just a weird year. You kind of just throw that whole season out in a lot of ways, and in some ways, just because it was just so different. There were no fans. This year, you know, facing a really good Indiana team that feels like it's still got a chip on its shoulder, and a coach who's really gotten things going there, and Tom Allen, and then going to Ames, and you know that place is going to be on fire on the 11th for that game. And, you know, Matt Campbell being 0-5 against Kirk Ferentz. I mean, there's just so much, you know, the best Iowa State team maybe ever, at least preseason. You know, it's just a giant game. Both teams ranked. I don't know that that's ever happened.
True.
How about 79 guys when Hayden Fry's first game, they blow a big lead against Indiana and lose thanks to Mario Pace. Follow it up with number 3 Oklahoma and number 7 Nebraska. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. Remember who the coach was for that Indiana team, Duke?
Lee Corso.
Lee Corso, yep.
Yep. Yeah.
One question for you on the text line real quick, Tom, before we let you go. With the depth and talent, could this be Iowa's most talented offensive line group?
Maybe. I think they probably go about 7 deep now. Losing Tyler Schott hurts them a little bit early in the year. You'd like to have that experienced guy out there. But Justin Britt seems to be doing really well. Keep an eye on Mason Richmond as maybe the left tackle. It seems like he's kind of winning that job right now ahead of Jack Plum and Nick DeYoung over at the right tackle. And anytime you can start with Tyler Linderbaum at center, I think you're in good shape because that guy is just he's the best there is in college football. And he's going to bring those guys along with him and make everybody on the field better.
No doubt. Hey, Tom, appreciate it, and we'll talk many, many times this year as we get into football and basketball. Keep up the great work at Hawkeye Report, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this here on KGYM.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the hold desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold. Or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
What if you could put the same type of rigor that the pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Well, you can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. You can invite your top choices to apply to your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up, there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get 3 things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Our thanks to Tom Cakert for joining us. If you missed any part of that conversation, we will have it up soon at our podcast at KGYM Radio. Let's go to the Gym Class. You can also hear the Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with her podcasts, or you can go to Apple or Spotify as well. And tomorrow we will talk with Chris Liss of RotoWire.com as it is getting precariously close, Mark, to fantasy football draft season. It may even be here, as a matter of fact, with preseason football underway.
It's been here for a long time for Chris Liss, but more and more folks like us are nearing our drafts, and I'm sure the questions will pick up for Chris.
He will. We will have Chris coming up tomorrow for you right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Ours is always the Tuesday ahead of the first Thursday game. So that makes it very simple to put on the calendar. It's not on Wednesday because that is a very special night, as we all know, as we get closer and closer. We're only like 3 weeks away from bowling.
Somebody's got to make out that schedule here pretty soon.
Well, somebody else has got to find out who's all in. So that's the bigger thing. That's the bigger question right now. So, yeah, that's around the corner. No doubt about that. Football around the corner and great time of the year. Great time of the year, certainly. And stay tuned. The Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They are coming your way next, right here, between 4 and 6. As I mentioned, Chris Liss will join us coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that here on the program as well. And the Twins in Cleveland coming up tonight at 6:30 on the Jim OT 107.5 FM. And that'll be a 7:10 first pitch coming up this evening. Sox in Oakland will... We'll go at it one more time. Sox finally beat Oakland, their nemesis over the years. We'll see what happens tonight. Ronaldo Lopez. It's going to be one of those bullpen games tonight for the White Sox. We'll see. Good to see Puck get in last night and have a good inning for Oakland. All right, Mark, we will talk with you coming up tomorrow at 3. Have a good night.
I will talk to you then. I will do.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next right here on KGYM.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety